Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that provides the Christian community with some extracurricular biblical teaching on current events. That's one way to describe the program. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. And that's for those who ask, who is this guy and where is he from? So, there's a lot in the news today. The border wall, the Green New Deal, the drama of the Russian probe, the proliferation of abortion and sexual deviance. I could address any one of those subjects today, but it's needful to once again do a program on the doctrines of God, the ways of God. More important than knowing the news is knowing God. That's the source of our joy, our motivation, our faith. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. But the people who know their God will display strength and take action. Last week's program was about the Equality Act and the LGBTQ agenda. I concluded that expose by explaining that God's judgment will someday cleanse the land. Isaiah 4:4, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. I did not have time to expound on this, but this is what I'd like to speak about over the next two programs. Specifically, how God reestablishes his authority on earth whenever it is challenged. If you've never considered this biblical teaching, you will find the subject to be quite enlightening and encouraging. There are so many ways to begin the subject, but let me start off by encouraging us all that God will put an end to evil. That's the basic point. Be encouraged, the sinners in America or in any nation will be stopped by God. Psalm 37:38, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off. And it's not as if this is just one isolated verse. God tells us hundreds of times that the wicked will be judged on earth and in heaven. Psalm 37:1, do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Or Psalm 9:16, in the work of their own hands, the wicked is snared. The wicked will return to the grave, even all nations who forget God. And so it's not as if the church needs to do something special besides fulfilling the Great Commission. It's not as if the church needs to worry or fear in order to bring about justice. God has already pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the High One. Daniel 7:22. A listener to my program, and now a friend of mine, gave me a copy of the new English translation of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, Between Two Millstones. And in this book, Solzhenitsyn makes the point that as a Russian dissident, he had no earthly power to speak of, but all the same, the Russian government continued to fear him. And that is why the Soviets made such a concerted effort to persecute him. People only persecute that which they fear. And this is a good reminder that the world persecutes the Christian because the world fears the Christian. We sometimes forget the fact that the ideological left fears us way more than we fear them. Because even though they may suppress the truth, they know that their end is near. Psalm 14:5. There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. So let's remember this in our witness, that the haters of God's truth fear us more than we do or should fear them. So the soon judgment of God upon evil is foundational, but there are some details in this that must be explained. Because when God's authority is challenged, God's reestablishment of his authority includes many facets that God's people should come to appreciate. Judgment often comes in ways we do not expect. God's work is way more nuanced than simply a tit for tat. The Old Testament character Job would have a few things to say about that. And to get us to think about this, let me springboard off of a recent video put out by a popular evangelical teacher and activist. The video is entitled, "Is It Too Late for America? Has America Passed the Point of No Return?" He then goes on to explain America's current moral depravity and asks, how can we recover from this? Could it be too late for America? Based on history, the answer is absolutely not. Another great awakening can be at hand. This evangelical teacher then covers some of the history of Great Britain and America, how there were other periods of religious darkness, slavery, immorality, child labor, poverty, but they were all reversed by Christian revivals. The Wesleyan Revival, the first and second Great Awakenings in America. And so he states, America has had ups and downs, but where is it written that there will not be another Great Awakening? He quotes the Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton, quote, "At least five times the faith has all appeared, gone to the dogs. In each of these five cases, it was the dog that died." And then he concludes with the statement, "Revival comes when the church gets desperate. The real question for us is not, is it too late for America? But rather, are we desperate enough for revival?" This video presentation is a good springboard off of which to address my subject and to explain some biblical teaching. I take exception to the theology espoused by that video, but let me phrase it not as criticism. Let me just say I am interjecting some nuances that this teacher did not have time to cover, because I'm all for the main point. We should desire spiritual revival. But was Jerusalem destroyed by the Roman army in AD 70? Because the early church in Jerusalem, the 5,000, weren't desperate enough? And did Jesus and his 12 disciples fail to bring revival to Israel because they weren't desperate enough? That is, the type of revival that would save Israel? Or let's take the 7,000 people in northern Israel in the days of Elijah who did not bow the knee to Baal. Did northern Israel fall to the Assyrians in 722 BC because those 7,000 followers of God weren't desperate enough for revival? You see, when we take the time to study the scripture, this teaching that the continuance of a nation is the function of the spirituality of God's people is a false conclusion. Let's put out of our minds that revival means the saving of America. Of course, revival is important, but spiritual revival can actually mean the destruction of a nation in order to bless and help God's people. The early Christians were severely persecuted by the Roman government and culture, but after a 200-year struggle, Rome was finally won to Christ. Now, not completely, but after Christianity was legalized in 313 with the Edict of Milan, the rest of the 4th century was all about the implementation of one Christian moral law after another in the Roman Empire. But in 410, one century after Christianity became prominent, the barbarians beat the Roman army and sacked Rome. The Roman Empire in the West was finished, and it was replaced with many regional countries. The Christians blamed the pagans. The pagans blamed the Christians. The theologian Augustine stepped in with his book, The City of God, to explain that the city of man is not the city of God. While the city of man fell, the city of God was doing quite well. The Christians in Rome at that time tied the success of the empire to the spiritual success of the church. I mean, maybe they were reading 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people repent, I will save their land. Or maybe they were reading the Mosaic Covenant in Deuteronomy 28. If you obey my commandments, I will set you high above all the nations of the earth. But now these faithful Christians in Rome are faced not with the blessing of their country, but the dismantling of their country. God unseated the entrenched Roman hierarchy and the noble families. He unseated the rich and the cultural leaders. And the destruction of the Roman Empire was not because of the unfaithfulness of the Christians, but because of their faithfulness. The destruction of the Roman hegemony was the blessing for God's people. And when Israel was finally judged by God in 586 BC by the Babylonian invasion, this was for the purpose of saving the righteous in Israel from an evil people, from an evil culture. God was actually answering the prayers of the righteous. So the problem with this video, is it too late for America? Is that it is intermingling two separate issues. It is confounding the saving of America with spiritual revival. But spiritual revival can actually mean the destruction or the disempowering of the very government or system that is persecuting the Christian church. God saves his people by bringing wrath upon their adversaries so that all the world will once again know God is serious in that all nations that forget God are destined for Sheol. So don't confuse the continuation of America as we know it with revival. It can actually be too late for America because God's people are having a revival. So you say, well, who thinks like that, Pastor Brad? This doesn't fit into evangelical soundbites. Well, yes, I know. All some people want to hear is 2 Chronicles 7:14, turn to God and the nation's going to be saved, and they think no further. But I hope you want to know more about the ways of God. And I hope you see the difference between pop theology and real biblical theology. Job's three friends had pop theology. Obey God and you're saved from worldly disasters. You have a great life on earth. Disobey God and you have a terrible life on earth. But that is not the way God always works. Often the most faithful Christians experience the greatest losses in this world. Let me give you some scriptural examples. And the first is Psalm 44, verse 9. Yet you have rejected us and brought us to dishonor, and do not go out with our armies. You cause us to turn back from the adversary, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us as sheep to be eaten and have scattered us among the nations. So here we see this group of Jewish people appearing to be experiencing the curse of disobedience described in Deuteronomy chapter 28. But then these Jews go on to say that they have kept the covenant of God. Psalm 44:17, all this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you. We have not dealt falsely with your covenant. Our hearts have not turned back, and our steps have not deviated from your ways. This is so confusing that some commentators explain this psalm as these Jews merely hypocritically claiming to be righteous, when we all know they must have sinned. And that's why the negative terms of the covenant is coming upon them. But no, this is the word of God. And given how this text is quoted in Romans chapter 8, these Jews were actually obedient to God. They did have revival. So they conclude that there is a persecution that can come upon the righteous. Not a persecution for having sinned, but a persecution for being on God's side. Psalm 44:22, but for your sake we are killed all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. And this is quoted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 to explain how godly Christians can experience tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril, and the sword. Revived people, spiritual people, can suffer loss on earth and in their nation. Then we discover in the Bible an opposite situation where the unrighteous are given Deuteronomy chapter 28 blessings that are promised to the righteous. Deuteronomy 28:3, those who obey the commandments, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. So in the biblical book of Haggai, the prophet is speaking to the Jews returning from exile to rebuild Jerusalem. Haggai tells the people that they are not being blessed by God in this land of Israel because, Haggai 2:14, every work of their hands and what they offer there is unclean. Verse 17, I smote you and every work of your hands with blasting wind, mildew, and hail, yet you did not come back to me, declares the Lord. This is the curse for those who disobey in the second part of Deuteronomy 28. So there is no revival, no great awakening. So now we expect Haggai to pronounce a curse upon these people, but instead, he says that God will bless them anyway, despite their uncleanness. Haggai 2:19, is the seed still in the barn, even including the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree? It has not borne fruit. Yet from this day on, I will bless you. So many evangelical teachers and commentators don't believe or understand what this text is saying. So they claim that these people must have had some sort of relative righteousness. And that's why God is blessing them in their return, blessing them according to the blessing of Deuteronomy 28. But no, something else is going on here. Also, the same thing is true when the Jews conquered the land of Canaan. Surely we think their victory in battle must have been because they were a righteous people. Deuteronomy 28:7, if you obey my commandments, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. And Deuteronomy 28:25, if you disobey my commandments, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. But what does God say to the Jews who are conquering the land of Canaan? Deuteronomy 9:4, do not say in your heart, when the Lord your God has driven them out before you, because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it's because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing them before you. It is not for your righteousness or for your uprightness of your heart that you are going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God was keeping his promise of grace and mercy despite their unrighteousness. The only way to describe what is going on here is that there is a principle that is operating alongside or underneath the principle described in the Mosaic Covenant. The principle of compensation or retribution. Now, I think we can appreciate this. A parent may have a general principle in the home that sin results in the punishment of the children. But then the parent may give greater compassion or help to a wayward child and may even require greater struggles and tasks for the obedient child. John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. What? Yeah, the one who is bearing fruit for God has to experience pruning, pain, and loss. You see, our goal is usually our comfort, but God's goal is our holiness and our eternal reward. So that a spiritual people may experience an age of persecution, and an unspiritual people may receive an age of relative peace. We need to stop thinking in terms of compensation and think in terms of dispensation. Remember 2 Timothy 4:2? Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Some Christians are called to minister in times of evil and social unrest, when Christianity is out of season. Other Christians are called to minister in times of peace, when Christianity is in season. I think we would all rather live under King David than live under Ahab and Jezebel. We'd all rather live in the time of Israel's golden years than live during the times of Jeremiah. But God sovereignly calls believers to live in certain seasons, and it often has nothing to do with your faithfulness or your obedience to Him. It's just what God is doing in this world to keep the unsaved in check at any given time. And it's not always about an earthly compensation for spirituality, but it's about God's dispensation. In fact, when Christianity is out of season, that's often the time God's people best grow in faith. And those are very fruitful times. Now, let's not take from this lesson that we ought to give up on all hopes of a discernible justice of God in this world. We can still expect blessings from God when we live in obedience to God. But those blessings may not be earthly blessings like national peace and prosperity, but the blessing of persecution for the further progress of the gospel. Philippians 1:12. Never fail to do evangelism. Never fail to seek spiritual revival. But let's remember, the outcome is not always the prosperity or continuance of a national capital or identity. And if I had to make a biblically educated guess, based on years of walking with God and studying the Word of God, the blessings of God to come upon His revived people in America will be our deliverance from a wicked culture by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again is godandcountryradio.org. The YouTube channel for the extended version of this program is God and Country Biblical Exposition. Just go to YouTube and type into the search bar, God and Country Biblical Exposition, and there you'll see the channel. This is YouTube number 64. Next week, we'll continue with this discussion concerning how God reestablishes His authority on earth whenever it's challenged. This first program was simply some introduction just to straighten out some misconceptions. Next week, we'll look more directly at how God saves His people by judging a nation or the world. Thank you for listening today. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are but children. We have so much to learn about Your ways, but help us to grow up to be just like You in holiness and in all wisdom. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, we ask. Amen.